Blog Talk Radio.
America Party book. And our subject tonight, after listening to the lamentations of conservative talk show hosts who now have come to the realization that the Republicans are Democrats. They're Democrat light. It's really sad. It shouldn't be. But if you notice, the Democrats never break ranks. But the rhinos, they can be had, man. They're for sale. They can be had. So, I understand that Hillary Clinton is, she's the reason that she had a private computer to record all her State Department emails was because she also had a second job. You know how many women have to have a second job? And I came across an email that I got from her on her secret computer. And I responded to it. And here's what I said. Dear Hillary Clinton, thank you for your email. However, I really don't need a Clinton exercise ball. I do appreciate the fact that this week you are giving one free with each purchase, along with the money-back guarantee. I know it is tough working two jobs to make ends meet. I hear Bill is trying to make ends meet also. It is hard today to get by on $2 billion. I wish I could donate the usual $500 million to lighten your workload, like Ireland and Algeria did. I imagine those kids begging for water in Algeria managed to make do, just so they could take care of you. Could you tell me one thing? Who was the last person to hang up on the Benghazi 911 call? And are you going to star in the movie, Who Cares How They Died? The big news tonight is the communist mayor of New York, Mr. Bring It All Down de Blasio, just created two new school days off for everybody to celebrate the Muslim holidays of Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. Now, let me be the first to wish the good Muslims, not the bad ones, not those bad ones that are blowing up everything and taking over the entire Middle East and Africa, not those ones. I'm talking about the real bona fide good Muslims. Let me be the first to wish them Eid Mubarak. And now I would like to submit my 365 holy days of obligation, starting with the Feast of St. Bingo, down through St. Patrick. Do you know why there are so many Democrats in New York? St. Patrick chased all the snakes out of Ireland. Well, I guess it's time for a tune. Should we go Irish tonight? Let me see if we can find something. We don't want to do a drug song by Cab Calloway. We don't want to do A Nation Once Again. I Love You So Much by Nina Mascuri. Backstabbers, that's the Democrat Party song. The Birthday of the King, we saved that for Christmas time. But you know what? With the snow we're getting, if I find White Christmas, I'm going to dedicate it to all the atheists tonight. I could do. That's 6 minutes. Here's what I'm going to do. This is a commercial introduction for Cialis. Or Viagra. And for you guys that are having those kind of problems, and there is no interest in the boudoir by the Queen, you have to change your modus operandi. So tonight, after you take your Johnny Jump Up pill, you spring into the bedroom wearing a cape and a mask, and you can do 50 bales of hay. And here's the background music that will launch you into your new romance. Look proud. Aim high. Finished already? Okay. I was speaking to Jimmy from Brooklyn tonight. He's upset that there is a hit piece taking place on the New York Mets, where one of the Mets, a baseball players, was set up by communists with asking him what his position was on a gay marriage. And I think the gentleman's name is Murphy. And Murphy said he doesn't agree with it. He believes a marriage is between a man and a woman. So they're going after Murphy, the Met, for being homophobic, and they're going to try and nail him to the cross. And Jimmy has advice for you Mets players or any team players. Never let a communist set up one individual with a homophobic question. At least five members of the team have to be standing around that guy when he answers that question, because they'll take that one guy out and the bosses will sell him out, but they won't sell out a whole team. So the whole team has got to gather around the one guy that's being set up for assassination by lies. And that's the tip of the week, as O'Reilly would say. And then he hits you with a fancy word that nobody understands, forcing you to go to the dictionary to improve your vocabulary. And then he brings on Dennis Miller, Mr. Vocabulary, tells all these jokes, and wins spelling bees at the same time. You know, wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Nothing like laughing at something you don't understand. Well, speaking of something you don't understand, you know you lost your country. You know you've gone communist, right? You know that. The President of the United States is now the supreme ruler. And all of those congressmen don't count. And the senators don't count. And the rhinos who sold out, they all have to be eliminated. Here's my plan. I said this a while back. I would rather vote for a Democrat who I know is going to hurt me than a rhino who's going to screw me. But I'm going to go one better. I have a better idea. These rhinos are all wimps. They belong in the useless of A, and they have to be eliminated and cast out of office. We got to drop them like a bad habit. And the way to do it is to find good-looking women. And you can only find good-looking women in the Republican Party. There are no good-looking women in the Democrat Party. You don't believe me? Look at what's her name? The one that's named after a test for VD. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Do you know that she's banned from every beauty parlor in New York? The only place she can get her hair done in New York is at Tony's Pizzeria on 86th Street in Brooklyn. Yep. And when Tony's finished quaffing her, he will ask her, "How do you want me to top it off? Mushrooms or anchovies?" Okay. That's my little jab at the communists. I do that. So what's the plan? Here's the plan. We're going to find good-looking women. And I got to tell you something. When you're a Republican woman, there's no such thing as an ugly woman. There's no such thing. All the women are beautiful. Yep. Yep. So having said that, there's a line that goes with that, but I can't tell it. We know that the rhinos have no Liberty Bells. They're useless. They're useless. As pants on a bowl. We're going to select women. Patriotic women. Pro-life women. Women who are God and country gals. And because the rhinos have no Liberty Bells, we're going to form this organization up for their replacement. And only women. We're only voting for women to replace the rhinos. Patriotic, pro-life women, and good-looking. And I tell you, they're all good-looking in the Republican Party. That's why when you see pictures of the Democrats standing together, they always turn the lights out. You ever notice that? Here she is in her burqa. Okay, called this party, and I went out to Victoria Jackson, and I asked her to help me organize the Liberty Bells, B-E-L-L-E-S. Did I spell that right? Did you ever hear the story about the girl who sent her resume into a big firm, and her spelling was atrocious, and she did it all in caps, and she says, "I know I'm just learning how to spell. I would be a good secretary, and I'll try real hard. And here's a picture of me." And when they saw the picture, she was a knockout. The president of the company said, "Don't worry, Zelda. Come on in." All right. So the Liberty Bells, that's what I want to start. That's an organization of women to replace rhinos. Now, 50 rhinos, I believe that's the count. And I'm waiting to get the names because I'm going after them all. But 50 rhinos voted with the communists and help pass Obama's amnesty bill, where he's going to replace Americans with vampires and zombies. Yeah, he's replacing them with the pod people. And the Democrats, who love children, will always hold up a baby on the border and say, "How heartless you Republicans are that you don't love children. Hey, we're not the ones that are killing 3,000 a day in planned slaughterhood. We're not the ones that said child murder is settled law. We want to save every kid, especially the blacks who are being murdered out of proportion to the rest of the population. Planned slaughterhood kills 3,000 kids a day, 1,100 are black, 1,200 are white. If white's a 56th population and they're only killing 100 more, what's the story? And why isn't the black movement protecting those kids who are going to be cut up in little pieces and thrown in buckets? What is it? Survival of the fittest? Your fittest? And Latino 700. What happened to Viva Cristo Rey? What happened to Our Lady of Guadalupe? Okay. So, having said that, we're going to do a salute to the American Indians, and you're now going to hear an Ojibwe American Indian prayer. Okay, that was to the Great Spirit. Now, having said that, I just got a flash. Do you remember Ben Carson? If Ben Carson and his team were smart, they would take Obama's prayer breakfast speech, where he attacked the Christians, and they should play that first to see how communists operate. And then they should take Ben Carson's prayer breakfast speech and just show Obama roasting in the chair. And that would be a good ad for Ben Carson. One man who loves his country and one man who hates his country. Okay, so Bibi Netanyahu came and spoke to the Congress. And Bibi Netanyahu came not because he wanted to get Obama. He came because he wants to save Israel. And he wants to save Jewish people throughout the world from being pogromed once again. And I said in my show last night, don't think that French police stations don't have new lists. And everybody will give up the Jews when the time comes. So when Bibi went to France, he didn't go there to march for Je suis communiste. He went there to tell the Jewish people it's time to come home. And I hope that everything works out. Because if it works out for Israel, it works out for us. And you got to remember, those are God's chosen people. Even if they sin against him, they are still his chosen people. So, having said that, I was wondering, Obama got word that Netanyahu was in D.C. and Obama went and locked himself in his room. And I was kind of hoping that maybe Netanyahu would go over there and, you know, knock on the door.
Elsa? Do you want to build a snowman? Come on, let's go and play. I never see you anymore. Come out the door. It's like you've gone away. We used to be best buddies, and now we're not. I wish you would tell me why. Wanna build a snowman? It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Hey, Anna.
Okay, bye.
Okay, that's what he should have done. I used that same tactic on Putin when he said he was going to destroy the USA. And he says, what do you have to say about that? And I said, do you want to build a snowman? Ah, give me peace any day of the week. Town. I have that tune also. Yeah, buried him because Obama's coming for them. And now he's going to pass more of his imperial legislation. He's going to raise taxes. He's going after the rich. Yes. Anybody that's working three jobs or more. Yeah. And I also have Disco Duck, if you want to hear Disco Duck. I saved that for Duck Dynasty. Imagine how Savage went after Duck Dynasty. Savage needs a religion. Savage needs a religion. He's been picking berries too long. He's suffering from berryitis. Well, here's a nice Christian tune. Draw Me Close to You. You ever hear that song? It's very nice. And you know what? If I played that, it's 5 minutes, so I'm going to hold off on it. Maybe I'll play it. We'll dedicate it to the guys who are suffering PTSD from whenever war began. Those guys are out there, all generations who served this country. You know that less than 1% who puts it all on the line so you and I can complain about secondhand smoke? You're out there and you're lost. You're lost in yourself and you're a GI, or you're anybody, any American. You're out there, you're feeling dirty tonight because maybe you do too many drugs. You got to get close to God. And go look for a cross, a building with a cross on it. Get inside, sit down, and wait for the message. You'll get a message. Your conscience will talk to you.
Draw me close.
let me go. I lay it all down again. Oh, oh. I hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. Oh no, no. To feel the warmth of your
finish that up nice, and we shaved a minute off of it. I got a flashback while I was thinking, you know, when people come to this country as adults, they really, they're amazed at the things that they never had before that they can have here. I usually joke, making believe I'm an immigrant, and I'll say, I love this country. Everything free. I have 19 social security numbers. I have house on Lake Munchkin, $5 million. I bought it with food stamp. But I flash back to my father, who was from Tipperary, Ireland. He was the youngest of his family, the only one that married. And he had four brothers and a sister. And he lived on a farm in Tipperary, and they sent him to the United States. There's a song like this about a guy who comes here. And it could be my dad, that song. And my uncle came from Glasgow, Scotland. So my father ended up working in the IRT subway system when it was the coal miners' union. And being Irish, there's a characteristic that sometimes is good and sometimes is bad. They call it, it's like a gauge. It's called thick. You know, you're thick, you're stubborn. Probably that's where the Irish got the nickname donkeys, because they're stubborn. If they set their minds to something, you're not changing it. You can kill them. You're not changing it. And my father, even though he was in John L. Lewis's coal miners union when they were digging the subway in New York, he refused to join Mike Quill's TWU because he believed it was communist. And there's a story that goes with that. His sponsor to come to the United States was his father's brother, who helped Mike Quill organize the TWU, the Transport Workers Union. They used to meet in my Aunt Katie's house on Collier Avenue up in Riverdale, and on Sundays. And I met a fella who brought my father home with his arm, two arms in slings, because he wouldn't join. That's where the thickness comes in. And his name was Gene, and he also worked in the same shop my father worked in. And I remember my mother, and she was probably pregnant with one of my siblings, at the door. And Gene explained to her that somebody, Chuck Pat, that's my father's name, into a service pit, you know, where they service the railroad cars from underneath. And I guess, you know, he hurt his arms breaking the fall. And I remember there used to be a newspaper called the Daily Mirror, and there was a writer named John O'Donnell, and he did an article advising the TWU to leave Pat O'Donnell alone. My father never joined that union until he was about to retire. And he joined the union in the last couple of years. And as a reward for joining the union, they gave him light duty. And he had a whole year to decorate the Christmas tree. And I used to tease him, and I used to call him the flower man on the IRT subway. But the thing that brought me to this story is, now my uncle from Glasgow, Scotland, he came and got a job at the Hotel New Yorker as a bellman. And he was like the moneymaker in the family, the entrepreneur. And he always had a bankroll. We always thought he was rich, but it turned out in the end he wasn't. But now, these are two grown men, and I'm a teenager. I'm probably 13, and I'm into fishing. I'm just learning how to fish. And living in an apartment house up in New York, Washington Heights. So I got my fishing rod, and I've got the we didn't use nylon at the time. We used linen line, like from Ireland. And I'll never forget the line that I had on the reel. It got all tangled up, and I could not untangle it. And I was totally frustrated, and I was crying. And I went to bed with the line all tangled. And the next morning I woke up, and the line was untangled. My father did it. So I got them interested in fishing, and we went out to Orchard Beach, and we rented a boat, about a 3.5 horsepower outboard motor. And my uncle, who liked his beer, had a big orange net. And in the net, he put maybe 6-8 cans of beer. And, of course, he hung it over off an oar lock so it would stay cold. And then we went out about a mile to go fishing. We're fishing for flounder and porgies. And just the first time my uncle and my father ever into fishing. Okay? And they loved it. They thought this is it. So we finally get out to where we're going. The sun is beating down. It's an open boat. You know, it's just a rowboat with an outboard motor and a cobblestone for an anchor. And we drop the anchor over the side, and my uncle goes, now for a thirst-quenching beer. And he reaches into the orange net, and his hand comes up on the other side. Prop from the motor cut the orange net, and all his beer went to Davy Jones's locker. So that was it. That was it. It was heart attack time. But I just flashed back to that story, and I figured I'd share it with you. But it goes to show you, my father had a saying when big grown men would be holding the hand of a kid, of a child, you know, like a one-year-old or a two-year-old, and he would point at him and say, and he would quote the Bible story, and a child shall lead them. And my daughter used to get a big kick out of football player guys taking their little daughter to a dance recital, holding their pocketbook. she thought that was hilarious. So why did I mention that story to you? And basically to show you how sometimes something so simple to one person, to another person, is magnificent. You know, what was the big deal to me? But to them, they had never done that before, and it was a thrill. And that's where that song comes in. A little things mean a lot. And you don't have to set the world on fire to make somebody happy. And now we're going to play a little tune to wake up the Democrats. I should say, the war on the Democrats, that doesn't begin until 2016. The war on the rhinos is beginning tonight. This is for the rhinos.
You got to change your evil ways, baby, before I stop loving you. You got to change, baby, and every word that I say is true. You got me jumping and running all over town. You got me sneaking and peeping and running you down. This can't go on. Lord knows you got to change.
Baby.
We're back. You know, the media is responsible for the communist takeover of this country. The media is the Pravda of the United States. And that's why I say ABC, always be communist. The CNN, the Communist News Network. NBC, nothing but communists. Al Sharpton is running NBC. Who got drunk and left him in charge? You see the ratings for NBC? They're garbage, but I do got to pay for the first time in a long, long time, okay? I have to pay a tribute to SNL. For the first time in a long, long time, their skit on the girl that was going to join ISIS was fantastic. It was right on the money. And I'm sure that you're being lambasted for it, and you're going to be smeared for it. But it was colossal creativity. And that's what SNL doesn't have. And you need more. You can double your audience tomorrow if you split it to 50% communist and 50% patriotic American. My next tribute to a black organization. The black organization that you never see. You only see the dark side of the moon, and that's thanks to the communist media. Black guys can only get jobs in the movies, playing victims of the crackers, or playing dopers and pimps. Very seldom do you see a guy like Cuba Gooding playing a movie about the first Navy diver, African-American Navy diver. And I got to tell you, they're American-American. That African-American, that's a label. That's to splinter the country. Everybody's an American-American. I'm first-generation American. I met guys down in Louisiana. When they found out I was first-generation American, they couldn't believe it. Because probably their ancestors go all the way back to the Battle of New Orleans. When the country called, they answered. The group that I'm talking about is the Coalition of African-American Pastors. These are the people that are in the ghettos. These are the people that are trying to protect their parishioners from the drug dealers. These are the people that live every day and try to be Christ-like. Memphis, Tennessee. The Coalition of African-American Pastors will present Justice Roy Moore, you know, the cracker, you know, like the media wants to portray him as a redneck KKK member. They made him take the Ten Commandments out. Did you see Bibi Netanyahu pointing to the statue of Moses in the Congress? And then he read the saying in Hebrew. You know what? The ACLU's there today with sledgehammers like they are in Iraq. Yeah. Okay. They're going to present Roy Moore with the inaugural letter from Birmingham Jail Award. Memphis, Tennessee, the Coalition of African American Pastors, CAAP, announced that Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore would receive the first ever letter from Birmingham Jail Courage Award in recognition of Justice Moore's principled stand in defense of traditional marriage. The group was moved to honor Chief Justice Moore following his defense of Alabama's statutory and constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. Moore's actions were based on the fact that the federal court does not have the power to redefine marriage in direct opposition to legal tradition and the clearly expressed will of the people. His courage and conviction persuaded CAAP that Chief Moore was the ideal honoree for the inaugural presentation of an award inspired by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous letter. Chief Justice Moore is an example of all of us, stated Reverend William Owens, president of CAAP. By making a principled and persuasive stand for marriage, Justice Moore has singled himself out as someone who is ready to defend our most cherished values and help lead this new civil rights movement. By his words and courageous actions, he has helped preserve marriage, the family, justice, and the spirit of democracy, plus the Ten Commandments. The Democrats will tell you there's only three left. This is that you have to obey. This is what it means to be a letter from Birmingham Jail Courage Award recipient. We hope that this example inspires others to take similar action to defend marriage in their own communities. The group announced that they plan to present the letter from Birmingham Jail Courage Award to Justice Moore in a special ceremony in April. God bless America. There's a lot of small towns out there, and there's a lot of small churches out there, and the communist-founded ACLU comes into town, or the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they threaten to financially break the tiny treasuries of these towns and villages if they don't comply to their communist demands. There has to be an insurance company within the religious community that can start to build a fund, an insurance fund, where for a small nominal fee, every one of these towns can call on that insurance policy to fight the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Communists. Look into it. Think about it. My monitor's going to sleep. Okay, so having listened to the preacher, I'm going to see if I can find this one. If I do, I will play it for you. Maybe it's under Seek the Church. It is. Here we go.
I don't care how many contemporary songs they make. I love old school gospel.
I need a hand clapping, foot stomping.
I need a church.
Church, for I can pray this name. Hand clapping, foot stomping. Church, for I can pray this name. I've got to get to the altar to lead my burdens there.
I really do.
He lives in
Jesus.
He lives in
Jesus.
We're back. I just went out to Sarah Palin. I told her to get with Victoria Jackson and form a woman's organization to take the place of all these phony rhinos that are just Democrats in drag. And let's get rid of them. And let's put up Liberty Bells, B-E-L-L-E-S. That's the new handle, the Liberty Bells. And they're going to run against the rhinos. All women. But you don't have to be a woman to be a Liberty Bell. I'm a Liberty Bell. Okay. So having said that, let's see. Let's see what the news says. Oh, it didn't go through. Who didn't get my email? Oh, what a shame. New Clinton scandal. We've had it with the Clintons. And she left four guys to die. She never took the 3 a.m. phone call. All she is a bunch of lies and cover-ups, just like her party. A party of death. Party de la muerte. And I'll tell you, you're not going to get all the Latinos you think you're going to get. Once the light bulb comes on, and these people find out that you can't say Viva Cristo Rey, and you don't like Our Lady of Guadalupe, they're not sticking with you. They're going to become free. Hillary Clinton headlines radical abortion group. Oh, you got radical Democrats, radical Islamists. She gave a keynote address at a fundraiser. Oh, that's 250 grand right in the pocket. West Virginia House overrides Governor Tomlin's veto of ban on abortions after 20 weeks. Oh, poor West Virginia. Family loses lawsuit attempting to make nursing homes starve their mother to death. It's a terrible way to go. By starvation? They interviewed a GI that was captured in World War II in a Japanese concentration camp. Now, this guy is probably in his 80s. And he said, you don't know what it's like to starve to death. And as he started to touch on what you go through, he broke down. It still affected him to this day. Man shares his heartbreaking story in front of an abortion clinic. My baby died there. You know what gets me? The guys that won't even give you car fare to go to get rid of their mistake. Woman becomes homeless after employer fired her because she was 32 weeks, told mom to abort two babies to save the other. She gave birth to triplets. You can't always listen to the doctor. New test will reveal 600 potential genetic flaws in unborn children. Will it lead to abortions? The saddest one is when you have a normal child and the parents say, it's a girl. We don't want it. Get rid of it. We want a boy. You don't think that doesn't happen? How about a fight? Look at the Godfather. What did she say? What did she say to Michael? Michael, I didn't have a miscarriage. I had an abortion. I wasn't going to bring another murderer into this world. So I murdered him. Yeah, unbelievable. And the audience sat there and said, yeah, that makes sense. We're all brainwashed, some of us more than others. I guess you're going to have to describe brainwashing in stages, you know? I recall Sean Hannity, a student called up and said, I can't stand my teacher. He's a communist. And he's making me do things that I definitely appall. And you know what Sean said to him? He said, look, go along with whatever he says until you get your degree. And then, until you get good grades. And then, after you get your degree, you can do anything you want. That's capitulation, man. That's not give me liberty or give me death. That's give me liberty or give me your corned beef on rye. Democrat compares head of pro-abortion group to Moses. Jahi McMath's family files malpractice suit against doctor who left her incapacitated. Wait till this movie comes out on Gosnell. That's going to rock a lot of people. Colorado Democrats kill bill protecting babies born alive after failed abortions. Colorado's gone, man. They are Satan's camp. They are Satan's camp. That's going to turn into a state with nothing but criminals and druggies. Yeah. And somebody's going to pierce the veil and veil. Every Mexican narco-terrorist is on his way into Colorado. And they're going to open up legitimate businesses there. Wait till you see what happens. And, of course, everything, all the drug addicts go on Obamacare. And you got to pay for them. You got to pay for their rehab. It is really sad. You want to hear about Pennsylvania coal mining? From Newt Gingrich. I thought that if Newt Gingrich, you know, he couldn't even get on the ballot in Virginia when he was running against Obama. I thought that if he was in a debate with Obama, they would have sent Obama home after the first debate in an envelope. Gingrich is very, very well-versed, and he makes great presentations. But there's something about Gingrich that bothers me. I saw him jump in on Hillary's side one time, and I got a queasy feeling. And I think that wiser people than me know why you can't support Newt. It is too bad, because he is well-versed. And here's what he's saying. The justified fear of Iran is deep and goes back a generation. When I became speaker after the 1994 election, my first foreign visitor was Yitzhak Rabin. Was he the one that got assassinated by a Jewish guy, a Jewish radical? Was it Yitzhak Rabin? Was he the one that shook the hands of Anwar Sadat and did a deal, and both of them got assassinated because of it? Say a little prayer for this Sisi in Egypt, because he's got two big enemies against him. He's got the Islamic Brotherhood, and he's got the Obama administration. He's got two big enemies. And don't put anything past Obama. Obama has already told the Iranians and warned them that Israel was making a deal with Azerbaijan to refuel after the bombing run and so they could come back to Israel. And Obama told the Iranians about it, and the Iranians put pressure on the Azerbaijanis, and they had to withdraw their offer. So, you know, the last person that's going to know what's going on in the Middle East from this day forward is the United States. And what I saw, what I witnessed today on TV, was an army general who was talking about a Mideast strategy. And he said he learned that this is an active army general in a position of power. He said he learned about the plan from the New York Times. And when he realized what the plan was, it was a disaster. He called his higher-ups and said, this plan is a disaster, and they called it back. But the thing that bothered me was he had to learn about it through the New York Times. And that's how bad our intelligence is. Russian intelligence is great. It is fantastic. They've got pipelines everywhere. They got 2 million emails from KGB agent Snowden, who the communists say is a whistleblower, and he was protecting our First Amendment rights. And when they put a bullet in the back of your head, they'll say they're protecting your Second Amendment rights. And then they also had 800,000 emails from Private Snowden. So they got plenty of intelligence firsthand. And, of course, they got Hillary's complete computer system because she's on Yahoo. Yeah, all her government secrets are on Yahoo. I don't know if it's Yahoo, I'm just using that as a figure of speech. When I became speaker in 94, my first visitor was Yitzhak Rabin, then the Prime Minister of Israel. He came to explain that Israel could handle any threat from the Palestinians, but that Iran was simply too big. 8 million people live in Israel today, compared with 78 million in Iran, and Iran's big territory. You got to go through mountains and forests and deserts. Prime Minister Netanyahu came to Washington to repeat the warning that every prime minister from Israel has expressed for a quarter century. President Obama deserves a lot of credit for drawing maximum attention to the event and ensuring that many more people heard Prime Minister Netanyahu's message. It was an important message. And John Boehner deserves a lot of credit for leading by inviting the greatest advocate of a strong stand against Iran to address a joint meeting of Congress. So that's true. We will give Boehner kudos for that. You see who was sitting next to Boehner on the dais? Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch is a rhino. He is no match for Chuck Schumer. Chuck Heinrich Schumer. And that's what's wrong. Orrin Hatch walks into the lion's den and says, "Hey guys, what's for supper?" Now, having said that, we're going to close the show. Well, well, I wish you a safe night's journey. And let me see if I can give you a nice going out tune. You want something soft? You want to wake the missus up and ask her for a dance? I got to do this one because nobody's paying attention. We're wide open. We're face down, pants down. 21 years of Americans already do not know the story of 9-1-1. It's been covered up in the communist schools. He said, "Oh, they're not going to let me play it." Okay, I was going to play a Faith Star. I guess my time is up. They've ended my episode. So I'm talking and it's not going anywhere. Have a nice night, folks. End the episode.